99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria, and welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you are just tuning in, it's a pleasure to know that you're there. We're live right now on your Facebook page. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook. If you're on YouTube, you can join us as well and see the studio, audio-visual, beautiful studio, and join the conversation as well while you are with us online. If you want to tweet about it, if you've got questions concerning cervical cancer, because that's what we're talking today on Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, I am Sheriff Quadri. Thank you for joining us. If you don't have our mobile app yet, please get it. You can get it from Google Play Store or Apple iOS Store if you are on iPhone. Let's have this conversation because it's quite big, it's huge. Dr. Adara Momodu is joining me in the studio today. She is from Shebekli Cancer Center. Dr. Momodu, a very lovely morning to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
When was the last time we were here together?
That was actually World Cancer Day last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's good to see you again after such a long time.
Yeah, it's good to know that coronavirus didn't keep us all out. So, yeah,
we're here. But hey, let's start with you. How was the COVID thing affected you personally?
Well, it affected me. It affected a loved one. It was a really horrible experience, but we thank God we were able to overcome it. And we are here. And we're beginning to learn how to deal with it and live with it better. And we're happy that the plans for vaccines will gradually start rolling out. That's really important. Please let's still keep, maintaining all the safety protocols. Wash your hands regularly, sanitize when you don't have soap and water, wear your face mask. And I think the face mask now is now becoming like a fashion
makes you
people
know,
look cool.
Exactly. So you can see different designs and different colors and all those things. I think it's really nice. How would you describe the compliance to that?
So I know in Lagos State, compliance is like very poor. So I enter like places with people and then I'm wearing, I feel like I see myself being the only one wearing face mask.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking around and then there's this kind of like look I get from people.
Yeah.
That makes you feel
I know that look.
That makes you feel like, oh, you're the only one. Like, do you think you're better than us? Or do you think you are safer than us? Yeah. That kind of look at all. But it's not wanting to be safer than anybody, but it's just making sure that I protect myself and I also protect you.
That's right.
I don't give you anything that I have, and also I don't get anything that you have, basically. So I would advise everyone to please just put on a face mask, as in it costs less. It's 100 naira, just get one or buy a pack or you can buy the clothes type and then wash it regularly, because that's another issue on its own.
So, Dr. Momodu, again, thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you around. In case you are just joining us, you're welcome. Let's discuss cervical cancer. Nigeria has a population of about, according to this report, 50.33 million women between the ages of 15 years, let's just say 15 years and older, who are at risk of developing cervical cancer. Current estimates indicate that every year, 14,943 women are diagnosed with cervical cancer and 10,403 die from that disease. Cervical cancer ranks as the second most frequent cancer among women in Nigeria and the second most frequent cancer among women between 15 and 44 years of age. I'm going to bring Dr. Momodu here to try and elaborate more on these particular figures and numbers. First and foremost, Dr. Momodu, what's your thought about these figures? Are they still the way they are? Because this was released in 2020, that was last year. Mm-hmm. Is that still what we have right now?
Yeah, so that's what we have, and it's even getting worse. And it's so saddening because out of all the cancers we know, cervical cancer is the only cancer that we know the cause and thus it is highly preventable. So it's sad that it's killing more Nigerian women than it should for a cancer that is highly preventable and curable if detected early.
It's curable?
Yes, if detected early. So it's a really sad thing. It's not something which women should be dying. I mean, women who are of the reproductive age, who are sexually active, should not be dying from cervical cancer.
What are those preventive measures? Let's start from the basis right now. How can someone know what is to be done by every woman? Age 15 is quite early, but I think that if we can get that done, like you said, it's avoidable. And so why do we have to lose people to that? What are those steps that anybody should take, any lady should take?
Okay, so I would say what's most important is understanding the risk factors that actually allow you to get cervical cancer. So cervical cancer is caused by a virus called the human papilloma virus, right? And what we want to do is to prevent you from acquiring this human papilloma virus, or prevent you from persistently getting exposed to the human papilloma virus.
Okay.
So things like early age at sexual debut, right? Early age at marriage, early age of sexual intercourse, multiple sexual partners would expose you to acquiring the human papilloma virus. Then things that would allow you to persistently, you know, get the human papilloma virus would be things like already pre-existing sexual transmitted infection, smoking, long-term use of oral contraceptives, HIV as a disease on its own, right, you know, superimposed with human papilloma virus, and then high number of pregnancies. So anything that really allows you to thrive for long periods in sexual intercourse would, of course, ideally increase your risk of getting cervical cancer.
I want to know what somebody can do to prevent this. Are we saying that everybody, well, maybe in most women that are sexually active, that got sexually active early in life, are exposed to this? Would it be like, okay, don't be sexually active in life? And how early, don't laugh now. It's true, because I'm asking the question on the minds of my listener out there. How early is too early in terms of exposure sexually? How early is too early?
Well, I don't know if there is an age limit for, you know, early. But what we practice or what we preach is, you know, keep sexual intercourse till after marriage.
Ah, doctor. Right?
But then there's no age limit, right? So for those who cannot keep, right?
Yeah.
So the most important thing is even be aware, be informed about these risk factors, right?
Yeah.
So once you are informed, then try to avoid it, right? Try to avoid getting sexually transmitted infections by, you know, practicing safe sexual hygiene during sexual intercourse. Of course, try to avoid getting infected by HIV. Do your screening tests. Right. Get your partner screened before, you know, you guys get into sexual intercourse. Then, of course, you want to get the vaccination for young girls. So young girls as early as the age of 9 to 13 can get the vaccination. And for we who are older, right, you can have your regular cervical cancer screening. And there are about four, you know, types of screening that give some form of coverage, right?
Let's talk about those four.
Okay. So for the cervical cancer screening, as I said, there are four of them, right?
Right.
The first one would be what we like to call direct visual inspection. And it could be direct visual inspection with acetic acid or Lugol's iodine.
Okay.
So what is referred to as VIA or VILI. And what this does is that we use it more rampantly in Nigeria because we have limited access to resources.
Okay.
And it's also a quick and faster way of, you know, making a precancerous diagnosis, which is the diagnosis that would help us to identify any precancerous changes or cells that can be seen in the cervix. So we are able to do that early enough, right? And then it gives a coverage for about a year or two, right? So every woman who is sexually active should at least have a VIA every year, or at least every 2 to 3 years, right?
Okay.
Then the next one is what we call the cytology-based testing, also known as the pap smear or the liquid-based cytology.
Okay.
And a pap smear, every woman should have a pap smear every 3 years, right? So everyone who is already sexually active can get a pap smear every 3 years. The third one is what we call the HPV DNA testing.
Okay.
And this is more specific and highly sensitive, right? And this test can be done every 5 years. Then in addition to the HPV DNA testing, you can have what we call a co-testing. Okay. That's the HPV DNA testing and a pap smear. And this gives coverage for almost up to 10 years. Right? So just get one of the cervical cancer screening tests done so that we're able to identify precancerous lesion early enough, which are curable, right? Curable with cryotherapy, curable with, you know, simple non-invasive methods, right? And then prevent ever the growth of cervical cancer.
Tell me about the affordability of these tests. Are they really affordable?
Okay, so in affordability is quite relative, right? In terms of, but I would say that in Nigeria, of course, for the average man, it might be a bit on the expensive side. But that's why we use simple tests like the VIA and VIA, which are quite affordable.
Okay.
Costs between 2,500 to about 5,000 naira to get that done.
Okay.
Pap smear is a bit higher, ranging to almost 10,000. And then HPV DNA testing to about 35,000 naira. But then, what value do we place on health, or what's the price tag to be placed on health?
Right.
Right. When you compare or you look at cervical cancer treatment, that's ranging to almost millions of naira, 5, 10 million of naira, compared to having a simple test that is costing you less than 50,000 naira.
Right.
I mean, when you have to access that, then you will, and I think it is affordable, right? Prevention is, of course, the more affordable option than actually treating.
So moms are listening to us right now, dads are listening to us right now, and they have female kids, and we've talked about how early they should get screened for cervical cancer. My next question to you, Dr. Momodu, is this hereditary?
Okay, so it's not hereditary because we know what causes it, and it's just that human papilloma virus, right?
Yeah.
So because my mother had, or because someone has cervical cancer in my family, doesn't automatically mean that I will have cervical cancer. Good. The major cause is the human papilloma virus.
That's right.
Yeah. So if anything which is sexual intercourse related that exposes you to human papilloma virus, of course, you would definitely have it. But invariably, unlike other, you know, cancers like breast cancer, which has like a genetic history,
right?
Or endometrial cancer, which also has some form of genetic pathophysiology.
Yeah.
But in the case of cervical cancer, it's really caused by the human papillomavirus.
Fantastic. We talked about prevention. How about treatment? What's at what point would you say, okay, you need to start treatment?
Okay, so I think before we go into that, let's look at the signs and symptoms that would actually...
Let's do that.
Let's look at the signs and symptoms that would actually allow you to suspect that you may have in a precancerous lesion or you may actually be at risk of cervical cancer.
Fantastic.
So I like to group them into five, right? And they range from things like bleeding, menstruation, pain, discharge, and the fifth one will be the late symptoms.
Okay.
So when we talk about bleeding, right, we talk about postmenopausal bleeding. So bleeding in a woman that is already postmenopausal, right?
Yeah.
So a woman that has stopped menstruation, has stopped bleeding, and then suddenly just starts bleeding. That's a warning sign. Bleeding during sexual intercourse. So sexual intercourse is not a procedure that requires any form of bleeding.
Right.
So when you start noticing bleeding during sexual intercourse, that's a worrying sign. Then coming to menstruation, right? So in the normal menstrual cycle, you bleed for some certain number of days, right?
Yeah.
And then your cycle starts counting, right? And then until the start of the next cycle before you see your next menstruation, right? But when you now start bleeding, the regular bleeding, which either lasts between 3 to 7 days, starts getting prolonged, right? So a woman is bleeding, a woman that bleeds for 3 days is now bleeding up to 6-7 days. A woman that bleeds for 7 days normally is bleeding up to 2 weeks, right? So that's a warning sign that you should look into.
Okay.
Or if the bleeding is even heavier than normal, right? So on a normal day, a woman uses maybe a pack of sanitary pad, and then you're now having to use probably up to a carton. Right, so that bleeding is in excess, so that's heavy bleeding, and that's prolonged. Or in between your menstruation, right? So you've seen it for this month, right? And then the next time you're supposed to see it is in the next 28 or 30 or 35 days,
right?
And just before then, maybe a week later, you are seeing your period again. That's also a warning sign, intramenstrual bleeding,
right?
And when we come to pain, so lower abdominal pain, right? Or pain that is radiating to the back pain.
Okay.
So, but I know people will say, oh, I experienced back pain.
Yeah.
So trust me, the kind of pain I'm talking about, yeah, you would know that this pain is
different.
Exactly. It's not your normal stress-induced
yeah.
or posture-induced kind of back pain. Then we look at things like discharge. So vaginal discharge that is foul smelling, that is copious, that is watery. Normally, your vagina is not discharging anything just like that.
Right.
So you have a discharge, but not this kind of discharge that is watery, that is foul smelling. And then we look at late symptoms. So late symptoms like pain in the leg, pain that started getting towards the leg, leg swelling, diarrhea, constipation, bleeding while urinating, and incontinence. So those symptoms. So once you see any of these five symptoms that I've grouped, it's a sign that go to your doctor. You know, request that, please, I would like to have a cervical cancer screening test done. Or just present to your doctor and explain the symptoms, and then they will navigate you appropriately.
So that's the first thing to do in terms of treatment. So what should people look out for in terms of treatment further than that? What are those treatment processes that people should expect?
For cervical cancer, as I've said, it doesn't just go into cervical cancer, right?
Yeah.
We start with what we call the precancerous lesion, which that is the goal of early screening, right?
Yeah.
Early screening is to identify this precancerous lesion. Precancerous lesion are CIN 1 to 3. And once we are able to pick those, any of these CIN, we can treat, we can stop the growth process or stop those cells from ever becoming cancerous and malignant, right? So the treatment modality here in for precancerous lesion, we use simple procedures like cryotherapy, right, which we offer, right? And what it does is that it freezes or stops the cell growth from progressing. We also use ablative treatment, right? But the goal, the major goal for the early stage is actually to cure the precancerous lesion or to cure cervical cancer at its early stage.
Right.
Then for late stage cervical cancer, the goal generally is to just improve quality of life, right, and achieve pain control. And that is the stage at which most women in Nigeria present. And that's why more women are dying from the disease, because now we are no longer curing at the late stage.
Yeah, it's late already.
Exactly. So we're just improving quality of life and then ensuring that pain control is achieved.
We need to hear from women listening right now. But before then, what is responsible for the late presentation at the hospital? What could be responsible for that?
So there are a couple of factors, but I think what is most predominant amongst women is the misinformation, right? Many women are not aware. There's this misinformation, there's this stigmatization, there's this misconception associated with, you know, anything cancer related. When you hear, oh, cancer, there's this God forbid mentality that we put to it. And many people are not quick to act. Many people will see symptoms and then, you know, because they feel it's not bothering them that much, they shove it aside. So the normal regular hustles of day-to-day living in Nigeria, you know, does not allow us to prioritize our health. So really, the lack of information is first. Then, of course, access, right? Even those that, okay, I've finally been identified to say, oh, I think there's something wrong with me. They just don't know where to go, right? Many of them would go to the wrong places. They'll get misdirected. The average presentation time, right, for a woman who saw her first symptom to when she eventually sees an oncologist or a cancer doctor sometimes takes 1 to 3 years. So you can imagine, you know, you've seen a symptom, right, and 1 year has gone by before you actually start intervening. The cancer is not going to sit down and wait.
And
okay,
wait for you.
1 year, I've seen the oncologist, I'm going to act. So no. Yeah, so the cancer, of course, will start progressing, you know, and even metastasize to other parts of the body. So that long waiting time, the misinformation, and then just sheer attitudinal behavior amongst us when it comes to towards things that regard health. So I think those are some of the things. And then we can say, or we may not say, affordability, right? Yes, our spending power when it comes to health is really limited, but then again, we must try out of the ordinary, because I mean, every day you go to work, right? Why, if you're not healthy enough, you can't walk. So I think the priority should not be, I'm not saying the priority should not be on work, but work is priority. But for you to be able to successfully carry out your day-to-day activity, you need to be healthy first.
That's right.
So we must place more priority on our
health. Totally agree with you. Let's take a few calls. When we take these calls, then we'll talk about vaccines. Let's get to hear, if any lady is listening out there, let's get to hear your question for Dr. Adora Momodu, who is here in the studio. 01465-7190. That is a studio line for the ladies. 01465-7190. For the men, if you want to ask, if you're a dad or you're a husband, you have questions, feel free to call 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
This is Doris and me.
Welcome.
I want to know, for somebody that is half smelly discharge and yet she has gone for pap smear and they said nothing like cervical cancer. So what is the next step?
Okay. All right then. Let's have Dr. Momodu respond to that. She's saying that for someone who has smelly discharge, she's gone for pap smear, nothing.
Okay, so when you've gone for pap smear, and of course it has been termed that it is non-cancerous, so we'd remove our eye from cancer and then we'll start looking at other health conditions. Sexually transmitted infections are still also present, and there are so many other disease conditions that can affect the vagina, right? That can be responsible for vaginal discharge. So it is, the onus now falls on the person who was screened and the person who referred.
That's right.
To appropriately now navigate you and, you know, prefer other differential diagnosis for your care.
Really. All right. Let's squeeze in another call this morning. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharif.
Good morning to you.
Well done to you and Dr. Momodu. My question is, I've done pap smear a couple of times. And we lost a friend to cervical cancer about 2 years ago. And the sister now came and said, oh, the regular pap smear is not the good one. That the one they do with acetic acid is the one that is better. So please, what I want to ask is, which one is better? Because from your explanation this morning, the one with acetic acid is like people do it to make it available to people who cannot afford pap smear itself. So please, that's where I need clarity.
Okay.
On.
All right.
And my daughter is 19.
Okay.
I'm wondering if she can still take the vaccine. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. Thank you for dropping those questions. But Dr. Mwadu, let's take Bukola. Bukola is here. After Bukola, I would respond to the questions. Bukola, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yes. I want to ask the doctor. I have a daughter. She's going to be 19 this year. She has taken the vaccine, but when she menstruates, she's still menstruates for like 2 weeks, but it's not constant. It's like once in 3 months. But the flows keep continuing for like 2 weeks. And I'm bothered. I don't know if I should take her for another serious test or what.
Okay. All right. Bukola, please. Let's start with Bukola's question.
Okay. So your daughter, 19, has taken the vaccine and is menstruating long. So the prolonged menstruation can be a sign of hormonal imbalance or another disease condition, and not necessarily cervical cancer. And because you've taken this cervical cancer, it doesn't mean that there's a lifelong coverage, right, with even the vaccine. So even though your daughter has taken the vaccine, she still needs to have regular cervical cancer screening tests done, right? Even after taking the vaccine, right? But for the prolonged menstruation or prolonged bleeding, I would say go see a gynecologist, right? To actually ascertain that there's no hormonal imbalance and there is not something else that is happening that is not in respect to cervical cancer.
Then the first caller who spoke about the effectiveness of
Okay, so for the screening modalities, as I explained, first on our list is what we call, as I said, VIA, which is visual inspection with the acetic acid. It's a cheaper and more affordable option, and it's not the gold standard. The gold standard for screening is your co-testing, which is the HPV DNA testing plus pap smear. That's the gold standard for screening. However, because of affordability, we use simpler methods like the VIA, which gives coverage for about a year to two.
Okay.
And then pap smear, which gives coverage for about 3 years, right? But the gold standard will be having an HPV DNA testing with a pap smear. And that costs roughly about 25 to 35,000.
Okay.
But because it's not affordable, we is less.
Dr. Momodu, let's go to break. Lagos, please hang on. We're not done yet. We still have a long road to walk this morning. Stay here on Nigeria Info. We'll be back.
Charles! This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And yes, we're back on the Morning Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I am Sherif Quadri. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, and we're discussing cervical cancer. If you're watching on Facebook, welcome. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for remaining with us if you've been with us since 8 a.m. Same goes for those watching on YouTube as well. Nigeria Info 99.3. If you'd like to join, you can join us on our socials. On Twitter, I'm seeing questions coming in at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. Same goes for WhatsApp. I can see all your questions coming through on WhatsApp as well. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805. And we'll come to the telephone in a moment, but I have Dr. Adora Momodu in the studio with me this morning. Dr. Adora, thank you again for coming through to come have this conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we start getting in calls and reading comments and questions online as well, let's talk about the vaccines.
Okay.
What can you tell us about vaccines?
Okay, so available in Nigeria, there are two types of vaccines. And the two types of vaccines are really targeted at the various genes of HPV strain that we have available in Nigeria.
Okay.
So we have what we call the high risk and the low risk. The high risk is strain 16 and 18,
okay.
And the low risk is strain 6 and 11. So for our vaccine, the first vaccine, which is bivalent, is targeted against the high risk, which is strain 16 and 18.
When you say bivalent, what does that mean?
So bivalent for two of the strains.
Oh,
bivalent.
Okay.
So it's strain 16 and 18.
Okay.
And it's called the Cervarix vaccine. Okay. So the Cervarix vaccine is targeted on the high risk or the high risk strain of cervical cancer, that's strain 16 and 18.
Okay.
Then the Gardasil, which is quadrivalent, that attacks both all four. Yeah, so which is the 6 and 11, which is low risk, and 16 and 18, which is high risk. So we have those two types of vaccines available. And these vaccines are taken in 3 doses between 0 to 6 months, right? And it's, as I said, for young girls, as early as 19 to 13 years of age, all the way to about 26, as long as you're not sexually active.
So if you're sexually active, are you still eligible to take the vaccines?
I would say it's not. So it doesn't provide any protection at that point in time, because you may likely already have been exposed to the human papilloma virus. So the safer and cheaper alternative would be to get a cervical cancer screening done. Because the vaccine costs about 13 to 15,000 naira per dose.
Okay.
And you're taking 3 doses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you spend that much money when you're already sexually active and you may already have the human papilloma virus, you still need to get your cervical cancer screening.
Just to be clear, Dr. Momodu, if you already have the virus, vaccine will not stop the virus. Just to be clear.
Yes, just to be clear.
It will not stop the virus.
It will not.
So how about after getting screened and maybe treated, can you still get the vaccine?
So I would say at that point in time, it's not cost effective.
The boss has left the party.
Exactly. So after treatment, just keep screening yearly so that you are not reinfected, which is the most important thing. And even if you are reinfected, so we can still retreat.
Do the vaccines offer 100% protection against the virus?
So they do offer, but it's not lifelong. The coverage is not lifelong. So I know that coverage right now is about up to 10 to 15 years, right?
Okay.
But it's not lifelong. So meaning that if a young girl takes it at the age of 9, so we're looking at least by the time she's getting to 29, she would have become sexually active. And then she starts screening. And that's why when you still take the vaccine, when you become sexually active, you must still continue screening.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I'm going to go take some thought. I have thoughts that have come in already. Let's go to social media now and take some questions that have come in very quickly. Fashola Abiola on Twitter, for instance, is saying that my wife had been on oral contraceptive for child spacing for about 15 years. Though there had been breaks whenever we want to make babies, is she more at risk for using contraceptives? Are you saying contraceptives can cause cancer?
Yeah, so contraceptive, as I said, because of sexual intercourse, she's at risk already. Yes, and then the use of oral contraceptives. So I don't know what type of contraceptive she's in using, and I think that was not specified. Mm. But the use of oral contraceptive.
He said oral contraceptive. Yes.
Okay, so the use of oral contraceptive, will I say, I'll use the word, modulates the oncogenic nature of the human papillomavirus. So it allows the human papillomavirus to thrive. Mm. That's really what it does, right? So, yes, I would say your wife is at risk and she should have done at least several cervical cancer screenings by now.
Right. We'll come to the phone lines. See you in a moment. Well, before we get to the telephone, let's take some thoughts on WhatsApp. I have quite a number of questions for you on WhatsApp. Let's start with this one. This person is in Ilorin. Soji is his name. Soji says, thanks for this discourse on cervical cancer. I do agree with Dr. Adora on reasons for late diagnosis, which in part could be related to attitudinal, cultural, religious, financial, and awareness issue. In my opinion, public and state medical personnel are rather too lethargic with patients handling who might be having symptoms of cancer and general health issues. I lost my mother-in-law to this. Medical personnel need to be swift when dealing with patients at state and federal tertiary health institution. Soji, thank you. He sent that in from Ilori. Let's take this one here. Let's take another one. Somebody is asking, can it affect fertility in women?
Okay, so because of cancer treatment generally has to do with some form of chemotherapy and sometimes radiotherapy.
Okay.
So yes, the treatment would affect fertility invariably.
Okay. Let's take another message from WhatsApp. This person did not mention his name, but he gave me a pseudonym. He said, I'm Fakafiki from Lagos.
Fakafiki is scared of cervical cancer, clearly.
It says, see, Nigerians are used to suffering in silence. Let's address this issue first. If you notice any abnormality in your body, don't attempt to self-treat it. Talk to someone, preferably a medical personnel. Go to the hospital. Also avoid all these orthodox method of agbo, hot water, salt and water, etc. to treat
cleansing.
Stuff like that. Yeah, all of those things. Fakafiki, we can see your face on WhatsApp. Thank you for your thought. I appreciate it. I really
thank
do.
You.
Let's go and take some more from Ben. Ben is in Agor. Ben says, where can I take my daughter to, my daughters to, for the vaccines? And what is the cost for the four types?
Okay, so most tertiary and health centers offer the vaccine. The cost implication, as I said, ranges from about 12,000 to 15,000 per dose. So that's roughly about 30 something to 45,000 for the three doses over the course of the vaccination period. So I know that health centers, many health centers in Nigeria, but tertiary institutions are able to offer the vaccine. The vaccine is not yet readily available in primary healthcare centers, but I know that our secondary healthcare centers offer it. Lagos University Teaching Hospital offers, the vaccine, Lasuit, and a few other, tertiary centers.
Are they for free in government-owned institutions?
So, no, they're not for free. You still have to pay. And that's part of what we are fighting for, the inclusion of the HPV vaccine as part of our required and recommended vaccine in the national vaccination schedule, right? And so once government is able to implement that, then all young girls compulsorily. So as you go for your routine vaccination from once your child is born, vaccination will still continue all up to 9 years of age because she'll be able to get, the human papillomavirus.
Now let's talk about young girls now. This person, a concerned parent, says, where can we get the vaccines? I have an 11-year-old daughter. I think you've answered that. So I think that's, that takes care of that issue, huh? Okay, so let's take one more from WhatsApp, then we'll move on. This person says, can the less privileged afford that money, 15,000 naira times three? He said, I'm a protagonist. I'm protagonist from Benue State. He's listening from Benue State and is really concerned about, the rural person. Fatima is here. Fatima says, if I have gone for screening and is negative, what are the preventive measures?
Okay, so if you've gone for screening and it's negative, right, depending on the type of screening, right, would determine the frequency of that screening. Mm-hmm. So the first thing would be repeat the screening when it's the next type. So if you did VIA, repeat it the next year. If you did pap smear, repeat it in 3 years' time.
Okay.
If you did HPV DNA testing, repeat it in 5 years' time, right? Then secondly, reduce the use of course, oral contraceptive, avoid smoking. Of course, it is practiced, it is preached, but not readily practiced in Nigeria.
Right.
Reduce your parity. So don't give birth to more than five children. Mm. Avoid, practice safe sexual hygiene to avoid the transmission of sexually transmitted infections.
That's right.
Make sure you and your partner are safe. Make sure you know the status of your partner before getting into sexual intercourse. And then reduce the number of multiple sexual partners.
Mm. Yeah. We'll take this thought from Stephanie. Stephanie sent that in, this one in on Twitter. Stephanie says she took cervical cancer vaccine last year, but she started taking the vaccine and hepatitis B after she had her first child. She also says she did pap smear test before she took the vaccine. She wants to know if she needs more tests and were the vaccine effective when she took them.
Okay, so I think Stephanie is already sexually active. Stephanie has already given birth.
That's right. That's right.
And it's very possible for Stephanie to have given birth. Mm. She probably would have had multiple sexual intercourse, right? Mm. So she's already at risk. She's already exposed. So at that point in time, vaccination is not useful, right? Mm, okay. It's not going to prevent the acquiring of the human papilloma virus. Mm. But it's good that Stephanie has had a pap smear. Okay. And it will also be great that Stephanie, you know, repeats the pap smear after 3 years.
After 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this call in. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay, my name is Maureen.
Welcome, Maureen.
Okay, I just joined, so I'm hearing about the vaccine. I have an 11-year-old daughter. So what's the name of the vaccine, and where can I take her to take the shot?
Okay, Maureen.
Okay, so the vaccine is called the Human Papilloma Virus Vaccine, HPV. And it comes, as I said, in three doses. Mm. Given between 0 to 6 months. You can get the vaccine in any health center.
Okay.
Mostly tertiary health centers in Lagos offer it.
Mm.
We also offer the vaccine at Shebekli Cancer Care.
Yeah.
So you could visit us at www.shebeklicancercare.org to book an appointment to come in for the vaccine.
We'll come to what Shebekli is doing. I'm really interested in what you are doing. Abigail is joining us. Abigail, good morning to you.
Sherry, good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's Abigail from South
Park. Welcome. Oh, we lost our call. Abigail, do call us back. All right. Please release this line. Let me just speak with the person because of time. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Fumi from Yaba.
Welcome, Fumi.
Okay, so I had IUCD 3 years ago, and it's supposed to last for 10 years.
Okay.
And I noticed my menstrual cycle changed a bit. Mm. My discharge as well, and I have this back pain that you just mentioned, but then my menstrual cycle is not irregular and all of that. But years back when I just got married, because I got married around 21, so I knew that at that time I had postoital bleeding. I went to the hospital and I was told to take a pap smear, which I did at Mercure and came out fantastic.
Okay.
So when I was listening to you this morning, because I started the program with you guys, when a lot of things started playing in my mind and I got scared, I didn't have the vaccine, I was not vaccinated.
Mm.
I want to know if there's any advice for me, or probably I should just go into the hospital and take a test again.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Do you need her to stay on the line while you answer?
Depends.
You have any questions for her?
I'm not sure I got all of our questions,
okay.
But I would say that, you got a pap smear done. So it would be great that you repeat the pap smear, which is most important, right? Although, yes, it's too late to get a vaccine right now, but having the regular pap smear done at least every 3 years will also prevent. Please note that even though I've mentioned all of those symptoms, right, which are you know, indigenous for cervical cancer, but they are not only restricted to cervical cancer.
They are not exclusive.
Exactly, exactly. They are not only exclusive to cervical cancer. So they can also be as a result of other disease conditions. So it's not something to worry or fear about. If you notice anything that is different in your body, just go to the hospital. Ask for a doctor.
Right, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You've been quite helpful.
Thank you for me for calling. Appreciate it. Now, let's talk about Shivekli, because, listen, I have loads of... I might have to drag you in sometime soon, because I have loads of people calling me. But we need to talk about Shivekli. The reason why I love working with Shivekli is what Shivekli brings to the public. What is Shivekli doing, really, in regards to cervical cancer?
Okay, so the goal for cervical cancer, that we've been given a mandate that by 2023 we want to eliminate cervical cancer. So working towards that goal, cervical cancer, right, through the primary state healthcare, Lagos State Primary Healthcare Board, in partnership with the Clinton Health Access Initiative, is bringing cervical cancer prevention programs to 62 centers in Lagos State.
That's right.
And underserved areas. The goal generally for this is to at least screen 200,000 women in Lagos State. So with that, we at least will be able to reduce the burden that comes with cervical cancer. So you can walk into any of the 62 healthcare centers in Lagos State. All of those 62 healthcare centers that we have in Lagos State are offering it. And it's free.
It's free of charge.
Yeah, so just get on a bus, get in your car, drive to the nearest or walk to the nearest healthcare center. Request that you want to have your free cervical cancer screening done. And this is brought to you, of course, courtesy of Shivekli with Lagos State Healthcare Board in partnership with the Clinton Health Access Initiative.
When is it starting?
Oh, it has started already.
Oh, okay.
It has started already, and it's going to run all the way to about June, right? Okay. So take advantage of this opportunity, right, and get your screening done.
That's fantastic. I'm very delighted to hear that. But let's see if we can get a call in right now. Hello, good morning to you. Good morning. Oh, we lost that call. We're going to jump on another one very quickly right now. Oh, yeah. Let's take this one here. It's quite interesting. On YouTube, Gift Ochese on YouTube says, does the use of Jadel implant put one at risk? She says she's been using it for a year now.
Okay. Thank you, Gift, for that question. So Jadel is an implant, right? So it's not an oral contraceptive. So no, it does not pose any risk, right? What will pose risk, of course, is the frequency of your sexual intercourse and multiple sexual partners.
So she should just get herself screened.
Yes, exactly.
Regardless. Stephen, hi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
I have a question. A question is somehow related to the cervical cancer that you are treating. I just want to ask that, okay, for a lady that menstruated last year, December, and January, he hasn't seen a menstrual period until up to date. What can be the cause, and what are the preventive measures? What is the next thing to do?
Okay,
to
all right.
The cause of this.
All right, Stephen.
Okay, so for a woman whose last menstrual period was in December, first thing first, go get a pregnancy test done, most likely pregnant. If negative, go see your doctor.
Yeah.
Right. To understand what could possibly have caused, you know, the stop in menstruation.
Yeah.
And also taking into account, I didn't get the age.
Yeah.
Right. So another thing could be if the woman is about 50 something years old. Right.
She's already approaching menopause.
So that would also be another thing not to worry about. So she's already approaching the age of menopause. Then yes. But for a young lady, pregnancy first. Differential diagnosis, and then if not, please go see a gynecologist.
We must go right now, but I need your last word. How can people reach out to you? Because questions are still pouring in. We can't take everything, but how can people reach out should they have any question?
Okay, so you can reach out to us at www.shivekli.org.
Can you spell that?
Shivekli? Okay, so Shivekli is www.shivekli.org. cancercare.org.
Okay.
Right.
That's fine.
Cervical cancer is preventable.
Yeah.
It's curable if detected early. Preventable with vaccine and early and regular screening, curable with treatment. So people, women should not be dying. Nigerian women should not be dying from cervical cancer.
That's right.
And we must eliminate cervical cancer in Nigeria by 2035.
Dr. Adara Momodu, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Coming up right now is Daily's Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. I am Sherif Quadri. You can reach out to me on my socials, on Twitter at Sherif Quadri, on Instagram at Sherif Quadri, on LinkedIn at Sherif Quadri. Let's talk, let's chat, all right? I'll see you tomorrow at 5 a.m. Many thanks to our sponsors on Just a Minute Credit Field. Good morning to you and have a good one. Stay here on Nigeria Info, though. Don't change it.
Do you need to meet up your goals for the year? Then here's the good news. Goals are easily achieved by choosing Creditville as a reliable credit assistance. Creditville is
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.